You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
You're listening to the smooth night sounds of the Liberty Cats. You Hep Cats and Swing Kittens, pull up your beanbag. Put on your beret. Grab that electric pipe. Put on that smoking jacket. And put your cat in your lap, because it's time for your daily injection of furry love. Now here's the granddaddies of hip and everything cool, Brian Hagan and Taryn P. Lupo.
And we are indeed the granddaddies, the grandmasters, if you will, of everything that is hip, everything that is cool, everything that is brilliant. We are the Liberty Cats. I'm Cat Brian Hagan, along with Cat.
Taryn P. Lupo, Stray Cat.
That's right, baby. Out there on the prowl, meow, looking for all them lady cats down the alleyways, and they usually only cost you $50.
That's right, and you can blame it on a hot summer night. Isn't that the song?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Was that a Corey Hart song?
No, it was Brian Setzer.
Yeah, that's right. That was a Brian
Corey
Setzer
Hart
song.
Shame on you. Turn in your DJ license right now.
I should, man. No, I was thinking that one song. On these hot summer nights. That was like Richard Marx or somebody.
I was talking about Stray Cat Strut.
Yeah, no, I understand that now. But my mind went to singer-songwriters of the 80s.
That's it. Turn in your card.
Yeah, I really. I've lost my DJ card. I've lost my masculinity card.
You're no longer allowed to go to any of those conferences where you meet, all the stars.
No.
Taking that away. You get drunk and ask them questions in elevators.
Yeah, exactly. Like I did to John Rich so many years ago. Yeah, I have no right to even call myself a music fan after I did that. I feel horrible.
It's on air.
I'm just going to go ahead and shut off my microphone. I'm going to let you take the rest of this show, Taryn. I'm going to go drink myself stupid somewhere and go drive really fast off of a bridge. That's how bad I feel right now.
Oh, okay. I'll give you one free pass because I'm sure I'll destroy something by the end of the show.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. You have to forgive me because I've got really bad music on my mind. And that's because I have seen now firsthand just how far our tracking online has gone. Oh, sure, we can sit and talk about the NSA. We can talk about the federal government all day long and the tracking that they do. But what I have seen firsthand, Taryn, is a terrible tale of psychological warfare being waged on me by the folks over at Amazon.com. This is a terrible story. I don't even know if I can tell it.
I have a serious love-hate relationship with Amazon. It's being an author that sold books on Amazon. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you some horror stories, but I'd like to hear yours first.
Well, let me tell you. I wake up in the morning, right, and I open up my email. First thing I do, because I'm a very important person, and I always have a lot of important emails, like from Walmart.com and Sears.
And some Nigerian prince.
Right. Well, hey, don't you dare rip King Istanbul. He's a wonderful guy. We've been talking for quite a while, and before long, that money will be in my bank account.
Before we finish this show, please ask me about scam baiting. I got a great story.
Oh, I love scam baiting. I love it almost more as much as I love the other type of baiting that I do on a regular basis.
And here we are talking about Liberty again.
The great thing about scam baiting is you don't just have to do it alone. I mean, I guess really any kind of baiting you can do with friends, it all kind of depends upon your mindset and who your friends are. Anyway, I wake up and I'm checking my all-important emails, and I realize I have one from Amazon. I'm like, oh, what does Amazon have to tell me? Amazon has to tell me that Essential Sade has been suggested to me as my music pick.
Why? It's the essential, though.
It's the essential Sade. There is nothing essential about Sade. I remember in the 80s listening to pop top 40 radio and that Smooth Operator song would come on, it would make me want to vomit. There are certain songs that make me just want to puke. Don't even get me started on Christian rock like Michael W. Smith and that DC Talking crap, the music that every time it plays, Jesus in heaven is listening to it and he goes, oh God, Father, why must they do this to me? And he starts puking everywhere.
He's like, not me, don't mention my name.
Yeah, don't mention my name in this garbage. Give me some
don't
metal.
Don't pull me into this.
Oh, Lord, why are they talking about me in this cheesy, horrible song? Ah, Jesus, puking all over the place. St. Peter and Paul are trying to, like, help him.
How funny would that be if Jesus was completely offended by Christian rock?
I think he's not a rock fan. I think he is, man.
Like, I don't know. He has long hair, though. He could be a headbang. Maybe he's a metal fan.
Look, I think Jesus likes any type of good music. If the music is good, and there's a lot of bands that I listen to that deal with themes of Christianity, but in a very dark manner. You find that a lot in old country music that I love. And it's very like somebody will kill someone and then they go looking for redemption. Well, that's humanity, right? Humanity is not, oh, Jesus, how I love you. Get in my arms, Jesus, and get on your knees for me. I mean, because that's what most of this nonsense, religious, freaking Christian rock is. I mean, it's like they're banging Jesus, you know?
I love the innuendos.
Yeah!
Like all over about, serve me on your knees, Jesus.
Yeah! Stroke your head, Jesus.
Do you remember it was a great South Park episode where Cartman starts a Christian band and all he does is replace the word baby with Jesus?
Yes, yes, yes. And that is so true. Yeah, it's like, let me caress you, Jesus.
Pulls the word baby out.
Yeah, it's so fantastic. And it summarizes that terrible, terrible Christian rock so well that that does a service to no one. That music is... And let me say this. There was a Christian artist back in the 70s by the name of Larry Norman. And he is what Christian rock should have been. Larry Norman went on to influence people like U2 and the Pixies and a whole, like, movement of punk rockers like Larry Norman. And the guy was unapologetically a Christian rocker. But his music, guess what? His music was actually good. He actually told real stories. He actually told real tales. You know, it's almost magical. He has this song called 666, which is about meeting a guy in the desert, and he's promising you 666, and it's, you know, cool, crazy sort of stuff. Not, oh, Jesus, bend over, please. Oh, Jesus, I'm on my knees.
I want to feel you inside me, Jesus.
Exactly. Which is like, yeah, oh, I'll take the body of Christ, all right. Right down my throat.
How many people you know that are writing that stuff are secretly giggling like while they're writing the lyrics? You have to think.
I guarantee
Jesus,
you're right.
Jesus, I want you inside me. Yeah, I'll fall to my knees and come inside me.
Guarantee these people are in on the joke. And the people are like, my aunt, I remember years ago, went through this, got rid of all of her rock records and gave them all to me because she couldn't have Satan in her home. And she's listening to this Michael W. Smith BS on her freaking cassette everywhere she went. And it's like, you're not finding Jesus. You're just finding crap music. I hate to break it to you. Horrible. Anyway, back to my original story.
Yeah, I forgot what we were talking about. Go ahead. Bring me back.
The Essential Sade has been recommended to me by Amazon, because Amazon is not only tracking my every movement online, now they're trolling me. You see, the last album I bought on Amazon, I think, was Roger Allen Wade, who is this real hardcore country singer-songwriter. So somebody over at Amazon said, hey, let's screw with him. He buys this, like, hardcore country. Let's tell him that he wants to buy the Essential Sade. And then they just giggle about it. Well, you know what, Amazon? I don't think you're funny. I don't see the humor in the way you're targeting people like me. I don't see what's so damn funny about making me try to listen to Sade. I don't like it, and I'm tired of your filth, and I'm tired of your scams, and I'm tired of your schemes of the New World Order, you globalist filth at Amazon.
Yeah, maybe they were just trying to introduce a new artist called Sade.
Oh!
Could be someone else, Sade. You've heard it?
Not to be confused with Slade, the heavy metal rockers from Australia from the 70s and 80s.
Oh, I never even heard of them.
Oh, yeah. They had the big song Run, Runaway. Man, I love that stuff. Yeah.
I have to remember that one.
Huge
but
metal.
Isn't Sade spelled S-A-D-E?
Yeah.
So it's just Sade.
Yeah, it's Sade. For the longest time, that's what when I first started working in radio, a friend of mine also got a job at the same radio station. I remember he called her Sade. He's like, that is the new hit from Sade. Of course, I called Shania Twain, Shania Twain, because that's really what her name should be. Not Shania, it should be Shania, but nobody told her that, idiot Canadian. It's not her fault, I guess. But anyway, that's been the difficulty of my life this week, being targeted by Amazon.com, trying to get me to buy crap music that doesn't even, it doesn't even closely resemble what I usually buy. So maybe tracking isn't as bad as we think it is.
Yeah,
maybe
I saw that.
It was so far off target.
On Amazon, where they also has listeners to this have also bought a chair and a noose.
Yeah, exactly. And a bottle of lube.
There you go. So that kind of gives you an idea about the Sade listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, they're all into autoerotic asphyxiation as far as I can figure out.
Amazon is tough because I made my living on there for years. And so you would do really good. And then all of a sudden they would change an algorithm and the book sales would drop and you're out a couple $1,000 a month. You're like, what happened? And there's really nothing you can do about it. So, I mean, I had one that was in the top 100. It was climbing the charts. And then all of a sudden they pulled it and they pulled my rating and it was gone and I never recovered. So they can literally screw you up and cost you thousands of dollars.
That is horrible. We'll continue talking about that. We're also going to take on the skeptics. And I have a terrible tale about a 14-year-old who is rotting in prison. That's all coming up on the other side of things on this April 16th edition of the Liberty Cats. So hang on. We'll be right back, baby.
In a world where freedom is fun and everything you thought you knew is wrong, two unlikely voices rose up from the noise. From the minds that brought you Fajita Fun Time and Wheels Off Liberty comes the Liberty Cats. Darren P. Lupo and Brian Hagen are just in time to save us all.
And we are the Liberty Cats on the 16th day of April 2014 in the year of our Lord. My name is Brian Hagen, and as always, I am accompanied by my right-hand man who goes by the name of...
Taryn P. Lupo.
And Taryn P. Lupo is also an author, and we were talking before the break about how Amazon.com is tracking our every move, but at the same time, they're doing a really craptastic job of tracking that move, telling a major hardcore country head like myself that the Essential Sade is the CD I should be purchasing.
And, they know you so well.
Yeah, they sure as hell do. And now, Taryn, they basically ruined your life as an author, and I know you've had a hard time getting over this. It drove you to heroin addiction. It drove you to the bottle for a long time, and I'm glad to see you coming clean on the show tonight. Tell us what happened.
Well, the girls in the meth rehab clinics are cute, and they're easy.
Oh, boy, are they ever.
They're like, hey, I got something in my room. Come on back.
Hey, you give them one hit of meth, and they'll do anything. That's what I love, about meth heads. I say straight, they get all juiced up.
It reminds me of dating homeless girls. Those girls will do anything for shelter.
They'll do anything for a jacket.
For a jacket.
Or a pair of cheap shoes. I can take them to Payless Shoes, and man, the rest of the night is mine. Note to guys out there, if you're looking for an easy date.
Daryl Perry.
Yeah. Homeless girls.
Daryl Perry. We give him some dish.
We do, and he enjoys it. He enjoys each and every moment of it. Anyway, back to the terrible, terrible experience you had as an author trying to sell your wares on Amazon. Taryn P. Lupo, explain the difficulties that you encountered.
I'll tell you. All right, if you guys are listening and any of you want to write books, because everybody seems to want to be an author – and I actually was one of the lucky few that had success with it, self-publishing. Now, which first thing you got to do is you better grow a thick skin, because some of the reviewers on Amazon are the most jerk, evil people on the planet. Like, there are some just horrible trolls that just make a living out of trolling Amazon. I don't know.
Yeah, but why do I have this feeling that every single one of them live in Keene, New Hampshire?
They're probably all Johnson Rice.
That's exactly it. It's all Johnson Rice. That's exactly
He's
what it
got
is.
A bunch of accounts. Well, he does read, and he'd probably rip apart any book. He's a tough reader. It's so yeah, be nice if you're going to review on Amazon. Cut some slack, man. Cut the authors a little slack. Because you don't really read too many other reviews where they just – I mean, there's some products that deserve to get trashed that you're
sure.
buying. But books are so subjective. Yeah. So
you know, you're right. It's horrible for someone to go in there and just be like, this is utter garbage. This person couldn't even write their way out of a paper bag. Did they even graduate first grade? And that's what a lot of the comments on books are. It should be something like, this wasn't to my liking, blah, 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 blah. I found the structure to be blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and there's some of that, and then there's some that's just really rude. I'll tell you another thing is I had a real popular YouTube channel, and you want to see hate and vitriol? Man, people on YouTube are just the worst.
Oh, they are. There's absolutely no filter for them whatsoever. They think that they can just say everything without repercussion. And frankly, for the most part, that is correct. Except, I'll tell you, it's getting very frightening in this world in which we live on just how easily we are tracked these days. I don't think you heard about this story yet, Taryn. And it's a real... I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest with you, because there's a lot she shouldn't have done what she did, but at the same time I don't think that it warranted the response that happened. It's a young girl who, well, she decided that she would take out a little bit of outrage on American Airlines. And she sent American Airlines a tweet, and I'm trying to get to that tweet right now, if you'll bear with me for just a moment. And she, oh, here it is. Her name is Sarah, and her actual username was @QueenDemetrix or something like that. And she wrote to American Airlines, and she said, "At American Air, hello, my name is Ibrahim, and I'm from Afghanistan. I'm part of Al-Qaeda, and on June 1st, I'm going to do something really big. Bye." So American Airlines tweets back to her and says, "Sarah, we take these threats very seriously. Your IP address and details will be forwarded to security and the FBI. Well, sure enough, they were. And this girl's based over in, well, she's Dutch. She's 14 years old. Rotterdam police arrested her. And now she's
wow.
in jail. Apparently, she had some sort of a Twitter meltdown even before this happened. I haven't seen those tweets. They deleted her account. But... yeah, American
well, that's not,
Airlines
that's
turned
not the
her
full
in.
Story because there were people out there that when she did this, she gained 20,000 followers as soon as she hit the news. So some people apparently thought it was amusing and entertaining.
I personally think it's hilarious. We know full well that her name is not Ibrahim. We know full well that she's not from Afghanistan. And I like the fact that she's in Al-Qaeda and going to do something really big and then goes, bye. Yeah, that's how a terrorist talks. We have lost our freaking minds, not just in this country, but around the world now. Every little utterance of a joke is treated like it's the real deal. And while maybe in some cases there should be some sort of a follow-up, we don't do that. Now it's the mighty hand of God that comes down on anyone who even makes a bad joke online, Taryn.
Oh, and I recently fly. Like, I almost never fly, but I had to give in and do it. And, of course, you know, I always opt out, and it's a big circus, and you get gate-raped. But
yeah.
Then what happened was there's signs everywhere that say, do not joke. Do not make fun of the TSA. It's an offense by law now. I mean, there's signs up that say that. So
are
you're
you
not
serious?
Leaving... Yeah, everywhere. I'll take a picture next time. But they're all over the place in Savannah that they warn you not to make jokes about security. So, and it's apparently someone made it a law. Like, how do you pass a law that you're not allowed to have a joke?
That's
when...
ridiculous.
It's amazing to me that how free speech is just so categorized in this country where you're allowed free speech, but only in this little free speech zone or not at the airport or you can't do this. And it's like you got to be – I mean it's gotten so disgusting.
Well, let's look back at last week's raid over there at Clive and Bundy's ranch in Nevada. That was one of the first things that the freaking feds did was came in and put up these little cages and called them free speech zones. Well, that caused outrage in and of itself. How can you have a little cage? I mean, to me, just the symbolism of that, a cage-looking structure, a free speech zone. You know, let's give it up for the Nevada governor who immediately called the Bureau of Land Management. I just can't say that without laughing. The armed Bureau of Land Management, and said, good God, people, what are you thinking? At least take down those stupid First Amendment centers that you built. I mean, it's just nonsense, man. You're right. Our freedom of speech is gone. If I want to go through line, I spent a fortune on the airline, right? I've given them a buku ton of dollars. If I want to go through that line and call the TSA agent Mr. Clownface, I have a right to. If I want to sit there and torment him and tell him he's not getting any and his fat wife left him last night for his neighbor, I have a right to do that. If I want to tell him that he'll never have children because he's too freaking ugly and he may as well just go shoot himself, I have a right to say that, do I not?
Yes and no. I think as soon as you get the government involved, you should be able to do whatever you want and say whatever you want. If the airport was actually private property and wasn't in bed with the government on every angle, then no, I don't think – I mean, you have a right to say it. They have a right to eject you and go, you're a rude jerk, you know, bounce them out. You know, they don't have to tolerate – a private business doesn't have to tolerate a guy going in there being like, you know, you shouldn't reproduce because you're the god – is going to strike your baby down. You know, I don't think I think it's a property issue. And those, what's stupid is the airports try to pretend they're private, but mm-hmm. they're so not.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I mean, they get like, massive government money. They're totally controlled by government regulation. They're not private at all.
Let's go do a protest at an airport right by the TSA and not talk about freedoms or anything. Just taunt them. Just call them things like I was just calling them. Call them inbreeders. Call them donkey screwers. Say that they commit sodomy on chickens. Let's go do that and see what happens.
Such goodwill.
I will happily go to jail for that one.
Such goodwill.
Isn't it?
Actually, you can have a lot of fun by just asking them, is this what you wanted out of your life? Do you really want to, you know, grope testicles? Is that what you pictured when you were a kid?
Tell us more about your taunts on the TSA when we come back on the other side of things. There's a lot on our minds, and we like to share it with you, dear friends. That's what we do on the Liberty Cats, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Hang on, more ahead.
Hi, this is Taryn Lupo from Liberty Cats. I've been buying gold and silver for over 20 years. I've made some good buys and I've made some poor buys. Most of the time, the prices and markups were too high from the companies I found. Other times, I was tricked into buying fake gold and silver. There's a large learning curve to becoming a good buyer when you're trying to figure it out all on your own. The good news is I finally found someone I trust who is affordable and private. For the last few years, I've only purchased my precious metals from Roberts & Roberts. They make it easy, fast, and discreet. Everything I've ever purchased has been excellent quality at an excellent price. I publicly vouch for the folks at Roberts & Roberts that they'll give you a square deal. Right now, prices on silver are ridiculously low, and it's a great time to buy. Check out Roberts & Roberts.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grand Wizards of Funk, the Liberty Cats. These hip caps know how to drop such a furry and funk-tastic rhythm you'll be solid all night long. You jive hustlers, go get your boots on, flip your grip, and be swelligant to each other. Now, here's the bucket from Nantucket, Brian Hagen, and the Lothario from Ontario, Taryn P. Lupo.
Oh, that's right, Jive Cats and Jive Monkeys. So good to be here on this Wednesday edition of the Liberty Cats, April 16, 2014. We do it Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays on Daily Paul Radio. My name is Brian Hagen, along with...
the very solid Taryn P. Lupo.
You know, my friend, you are indeed very solid. Here, I give you a little fist bump there. No terrorism involved. Just a little solidarity between two brothers is what that is.
That's it. But you'll still get targeted by the TSA for making a joke.
Well, of course. And then I'll end up in jail for saying that my name is Ibrahim.
We have some Al-Qaeda secret handshake.
Yeah. Hey, looky over there. Them two guys are shaking hands all weird. I bet there's Al-Qaeda. I bet they's Al-Qaeda, and I bet they's going to be there over there blowing things up with bombs. Let's shoot them. I mean, that's our mentality. Oh, they might blow something up with a bomb, so let's kill them.
Yeah, it's gosh, it's so bad because, I mean, I know we have some listeners that probably disagree with us that, you know, the TSA is necessary and we have to have them.
That's fine. They can disagree all they want, but they're wrong. But anyway, go ahead, Taryn.
When you look at the statistics, what is it? The last study showed that they missed 75% of their own drills.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're screwing these things up.
That's when they know the test is coming. It's like, we're being tested today. Make sure you catch it. And they still miss 75% of hidden guns and knives, like their own drills. To think that you're safe because you're going through this little security theater is such a joke. They don't stop anything. They've never, since they started, they have not stopped one terrorist. They haven't caught one. Or if they caught something, they're the ones that set it up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's exactly right. And they were meant to be caught. You know, I think back on that Christmas day.
Some terrorists that we created to trick, you know. And if you ever look at most of that track record, the terrorists that have been caught in this country were made by – by the country there, you know, the CIA's like, here, I'm going to give you this fake bomb, but you think it's real and run into a crowd.
Exactly.
You know, they're egging them on. Do it.
Half of these guys are like borderline. That was one of the best, you know, if I give credit to Paul Joseph Watson over at InfoWars, it always goes back to this headline. I remember they stopped that, by they, I'm talking about the feds. They stopped, and I'm making exclamation points with my fingers because they stopped nothing. It was three guys, I think it was in New York, and they were talking about blowing up a synagogue. And so they put, you know, an FBI informant in with them, and eventually they caught him for trying to blow up this synagogue. Well, they didn't have any weapons. They had no guns. They were too dumb to even fill out an application. And I remember Paul Joseph Watson's headline read something like, "Feds break up pot-smoking, half-retarded, non-terrorist ring." And it was one of the best headlines I've ever read. When you got into the meat of it, two of the members were, like, actually retarded. They were very low-functioning individuals that the reason they were, like, living homeless on the street was because they failed out of school. They couldn't even figure out how to, like, sign their own names. And these are the guys that are going to blow up anything, right?
Yeah, that's it. They're just an idea that it's safe. I mean, okay, you know, you can go all the way up to the security gate with a bomb and blow it up in the airport. You know, why do you have to be on a plane? You can take out hundreds of people right in the airport.
You're exactly right.
What is this? This is such bullshit BS security theater. You're not ever going to be safe. You were listening, listeners. If you want freedom, there's always going to be some area where you're not safe. It's a trade-off. You can never have real safety.
Dude,
so just get that out of your mind.
Walking across the parking lot into my Walmart, at any second, some drunk redneck could come speeding through, having a horrible, horrible argument with his white trash wife, gun his freaking gas pedal and run me and grandma and everybody else over in the parking lot. This is life, man. You never know what's going to happen from moment to moment. We're dealing with the human brain. People snap. People do crazy things. There is no ultimate safety. Anything that claims to be ultimate safety is a flat-ass lie.
That's it. And the TSA that you have cheered and clapped on, oh, they're protecting us from terrorism. Yeah, now you're getting a bunch of radiation. Now they got naked scans of you.
Uh-huh.
And now, you know, you've terrified people out of flying. I mean, and made it so miserable. All you're doing is helping. You're helping by buying into this whole paradigm. The TSA is completely unnecessary. It's security theater. They couldn't stop their own dang test. They really can't stop a real bomb if someone wants to bring it in the airport. They can't do any of this stuff. So why do we have them? Because some politician made a heck of a lot of money selling these new scanning x-ray machines and controlling all this new bureaucracy and all that money. That's what it's about.
It's always about the money.
It's always about the money.
Yeah.
And so stop buying into this, man. Stop trying to pretend that they're there for your safety. They're not. It's a bought and paid for bureaucratic program. Now, damn it, Brian, we're supposed to talk about cats, and you got me fired up.
Well, here's one for you.
TSA makes me crazy.
Here's one for you, NPR listening mom and dad in your little suit and little dress Hillary Clinton-looking skirt outfit as you go through the airport with your hot teenage daughter thinking, oh, why do those crazy conservatives rip the TSA? They're here for our safety. Oh, I love going through the body scanner. Well, let me tell you this, mom and dad, as you take your little dose of cancer inducing radiation and then your hot little teenage daughter goes through there, let me warn you something. These TSA agents that are there for your safety, they're going home with at least the middle picture of that naked image of your hot teenage daughter, and they're baiting like monkeys to that each and every night. So that's what you get when you go through the TSA line, mom and dad. Put that little visual image in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, I had a big fallout one of the last times I fly because I never have gone through the radiation machine. And I'm walking there and I'm like, I'm opting out. And they have a new spiel now.
Oh, God.
And they go, well, you know, these are new machines. They're completely safe. And I said, well, didn't you say that about the last machines? Why did you change them if they were completely safe? Because you told everybody they were safe last time. And the guy just looked at me slack-jawed and went, security, opt out. He couldn't even answer. I was like, oh, so you just willy-nilly decided to change the whole radiation system and how you do it because it was safe.
They're idiots. I remember an officer once said to me, a police officer, he told me, he said, those who work for the TSA are the guys that we in the sheriff's department won't even hire. That told me everything right there.
And, it's just such a disturbing thing to see how people are teaching their kids. Like, you go online and they're like, okay, take your shoes off. Go ahead and let the stranger touch you. I mean, you're teaching – there's a whole generation growing up that will never know what it was like to have TSA-free flying, to not be harassed when you go through stuff, to just simply walk through an X-ray machine that beeps. You know, here's a good example. I was in New Zealand 2 years ago, and when you fly in New Zealand, I didn't even have to show an ID.
Really?
It was like going on a bus stop. You just buy the ticket, you sit down, they're like, okay, go. There was no security, no baggage check, no nothing, no X-ray, no. You know why? Because New Zealand's, their foreign policy is standoff. They don't screw with anyone else's government.
Right.
So they're not worried about getting attacked.
They're non-interventionist all the way.
You ask them and they're like, no, why would someone attack us? We leave everyone alone. And it's genius. And they don't put up with the stuff we do. And then, you know, I get on the international flight and it's like ridiculous, you know, to go back home. So it was a real eye-opener to see that, you know, there's a whole country out there that doesn't do this, play this security TSA game, and guess what? They're not getting bombed and blown up.
Well, and again, it all comes down to non-interventionism. When you leave your neighbors alone, they're not going to blow your house up. If you're not constantly treading on your neighbor's property, you're not driving your truck under their lawn and creating ruts, you're not having loud parties every night that disrupt their sleep, you and your neighbors are generally going to get along probably just fine, at least to the point where you wave at each other and do each other no harm. But if you're doing all those things that I mentioned, likely your neighbors are going to be furious at you and there will be retaliation. Our foreign policy is exactly the same. And we wonder why people hate us. They don't hate us for our freedom. No, no. They hate us because we're jerk face weirdos.
Well, yeah. And we used to get in fights about 9/11? Because I'm no conspiracy guy or whatever, but I can tell you this much, that the U.S. is to blame for 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Either some crazy conspiracy or either that their foreign policy was so bad that they poked the tiger in the eye so much that it finally struck back. So either way, they're responsible. I'm not trying to start a whole 9/11 thing, but what I'm trying to tell you is you cannot take other people's governments, pull out their presidents, put in your own, install your own government over and over in these Arab countries and wonder, oh, wow, I guess I don't know why they're mad and attacking us. The U.S. totally started it. We never got attacked until we started – the CIA started screwing up and replacing governments and installing their own dictators. So it's only a matter of time, you know. If you would just leave people alone, you wouldn't have any fear of terrorism.
You know, I was so impressed. It was, I think, 2007 leading up to the 2008 elections when Ron Paul was, you know, running as a Republican candidate. And I'll never forget when he stood on stage, and I believe it was a Fox News-sponsored debate, and he talked about the blowback theory, which is really exactly what you're saying right there, Taryn. And I'll never forget the crowd booing, and Rudy Giuliani, that jerk-faced Giuliani, is he dead yet? He should be. But anyway, jerk-faced Giuliani standing there and saying, "How dare you, sir, try to in some way allude that America is responsible for 9/11. America," and everybody's cheering and waving flags.
It was disgusting how people run on pure emotion and no thought. Do you really think that these Arab countries just came over here willy-nilly out of the blue and attacked us because we're not, you know, we're not the same religion as them? Give me a break.
Right.
That's not what it is at all. And if you really have a brain of your own, go actually read Osama's letters afterward and see what he's talking about.
Right.
Because he's not going, "Oh, we attacked America because they're infidels and we want to make everyone Muslim." No.
We hate Britney Spears.
You installed this government and you wrecked our government. And for years you built us up and then left us alone. And he's talking about foreign policy issues. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about religious issues in those letters after he attacked. And, you know, where are those? That's not in the news. It just went quiet.
Exactly. I mean,
you can read it online. Go read it.
How many times?
Go see what he's saying, why he attacked.
Yeah, see his words. See the words of this enemy. See the words of this madman. See the words of this Satan incarnate. Maybe, just maybe, if you take 2 seconds to actually read what he had to say, you're going to realize he's not the boogeyman that your government has told you about. How many times leading up to 9/11 and for how many years did Bin Laden and many of his ilk tell the United States government, "Get off our lawn, get off our lawn," which is basically what it amounts to, "get off our lawn and there won't be trouble." But instead, the United States, instead of getting off their lawn, starts piling more and more garbage on their lawn, and eventually it left them with no other choice but to hit back, which is exactly what happened.
And kind of. They basically found Osama. The CIA built him up. And he was on America's side and did what they wanted.
Yes.
And then when Osama finally said, "Okay, I don't really want to be ruled by America anymore," then he became an enemy.
Right, exactly.
Go look at the pictures of him sitting around with George Bush and hanging out, you know, with Reagan or whatever.
And they're like chilling in hot tubs and stuff, you know?
Drinking tea together, whatever. It is because they created Osama in this, and then they couldn't control him, and so he became a bad guy.
We create all of our own boogeymen. It's hilarious to me. Hilarious in a really sick, twisted sort of makes me so sad I have to drown my sorrows in a bottle and hope I don't wake up tomorrow sort of way. But it's still hilarious to me that we create our own problems. That's not to say that there aren't bad people in the world. That's not to say that some things aren't legitimate. But the biggest ones, the ones that gain the most traction, the ones that we talk about the most, those could have been avoided. Those were self-created. Those came from our own government. I'm not saying that we flew planes into the World Trade Center. I'm simply saying the damn thing could have been avoided if we had just been nice to our neighbors.
That's it. And that's what I'm saying is, as unpopular it is, the U.S. is responsible because they stirred the hornet's nest.
Yes.
They were the first ones to create the problem and start it. They, you know, the Middle East wasn't screwing with the U.S. The U.S. went in there and decided they wanted to own the Middle East. And that's it. So stop kidding yourself, man. This is not about being a Muslim, and stop hating on Muslims and making that an issue. That's so small of the picture.
Well,
this is all about foreign policy.
Let me tell you, it shocks me and it saddens me how many individuals I cross paths with in the liberty movement who have this anti-Muslim agenda. They have this anti-religious agenda, and it's all because these Muslims are evil. And it's funny because everything else that comes out of their mouth would actually go counter to that thinking. But suddenly it gets to Muslims, they're like, "Oh, no, they're evil. You know, you got to stop the Muslims."
Oh, God, I know. It's crazy.
Isn't it horrible?
It's the new boogeyman that they had to create, And gosh, it's so like I have friends that are very intelligent people and they just Muslim bash because, you know, somewhere in the scripture it said to kill the infidels. But if you look at the Bible's just as crazy with stuff.
Oh, yeah. It certainly is.
You're talking about a small sect of people that are using – are fighting politically and that use religious dogma to control people. They're a small sect. But you sure as heck can't take that same microscope and turn it around and look at Christians in this country.
No.
Because there's a small stack of Christians that take scripture literally – And they're, quote, domestic terrorism, and they do the same stuff Al-Qaeda's doing. But no, they're Christians, so they get a free pass.
Yeah, that's different. Their skin's not brown, man.
Yeah, they're not brown, and they don't look like, you know, they look like us. So they're not, they're okay. They're just crazy.
Yeah,
crazy. But Al-Qaeda wants to take us over because of religion.
No, exactly.
You know, you can't have it both ways. The Bible and, you know, the Quran have both some crazy stuff in it.
Absolutely. And you've got to be smart enough to realize that. Hey, we're about to put the brakes on this thing and put the wraps on this thing. We're coming right back to do just that. About time to put the fork in it because we're almost done. But one more segment on the way with the Liberty Cats.
Buffy, darling, put down your crumpets and listen to these clever chaps. They made me chuckle so hard my monocle fell off. It would be a capital idea if you tuned in to the Liberty Cats every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 6 p.m. on Daily Paul Radio. They're our kind of people, darling. Now, excuse me, darling. I have to go roll around in all my money naked.
Well, this has certainly been quite the edition of the Liberty Cats on this 16th day of April, 2014, year of our Lord. Taryn P. Lupo, I'm Brian Hagan. We've had quite the show here. We've discussed a number of topics, starting off with Amazon tracking me and trying to make me listen to crap music like Sade.
Yeah, and then you got me so fired up. I cannot believe that I took the bait, and all I wanted to do was come in and talk about cats. And now you try to push this into a damn Liberty show.
I know. This happens every time. Before we go on the air, Taryn's always saying to me, now, Brian, don't turn this into something serious. We're here to talk about cats. I just want to talk about cats. And I'm going, okay, Taryn, it'll be fine. And then suddenly we go on a 30-minute rant about the TSA. We end up talking about 9/11. We end up talking about the erosion of our freedoms. It's just amazing what one little spark will do, my friend.
Oh, yeah. And thanks for setting that off.
It's my pleasure. You just call me the terrorist of the Liberty Cats because that's what I am.
That's it. It's because I just hate the TSA so much. If you want to watch me go to instant activist, just start talking about the TSA. It drives me crazy.
I can't believe that you don't enjoy the little pat down, man. I mean, I myself, being a lonely fella, is nothing like they're like, oh, I'm going to reach. I'm like, oh, yes, please. Oh, just a little. Can you go a little higher? Can you just move it a little more to the right?
I actually, you know, since I have studied radiology, I mean, I use the X-ray machine and all that. I always sit there and just had, do you realize you're standing, you know, 2 feet away from a fluoroscopy machine all day long? Do you realize that? You know, I put the fear of God in. And I'm like, you sure? But yeah, it's safe. No, it's not.
You know, you're going to get some cancer.
I work in the field, man. You're standing next to a constant X-ray. You know, so I make sure that they at least feel a little pain like I do.
Good. Destroy them mentally. If you can't destroy them physically, bring down their brains. Hey, this has been another great show. We love when we get to hang out with you. We'll be back tomorrow.
Soldier boy.
Me love you long time. You don't even have to pay us $5. And you know that we sucky. No, I mean, we suck. We're terrible. That's what makes this show what it is. We'll see you tomorrow on the Liberty Cats. Daily Paul Radio.
You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.